What's up, everybody, and welcome to episode, what is this? Technically, this is like 43 and a half. Yes, 43 and a half of the Rocket Punch Show. I'm one of your hosts, Cameron, here, and the other host, Seth, is not here this time. I know a couple of weeks ago I talked to you guys about, to the point where if weird or unfortunate things happened, then I would more or less try and get more kind of solo episodes out there, kind of especially gauging how you guys thought, but really just making sure that there's at least some little morsel of content for you guys out there. So, story time. We were ready to go this week. If you haven't had a chance to see the promo video that I rolled out, hopefully I'm gonna try and make that a new thing on Twitter. If you guys, it's a little bit more interactive and you guys seeing what we're talking about each week. But I got everything ready to go. Seth and I are like, dude, we are pumped. As I'm just setting all this up, I notice that the sky's looking a little gray. I'm like, oh, okay, well, it's doesn't look like rain. Doesn't look too bad. Maybe just some rain, something, some drizzles here or there. But apparently, Seth had a much harder issue on his side of town. Actually, power completely went out about an hour before we were supposed to go live. He messages me frantically, like 15, like, oh my God, the power's out. We just got back home, da-da-da-da. And was unable to get any power up and going in order for the show. I think he had hinted possibly that somebody in all the stormy weather down in his area had gotten hit a transformer near their house and it killed out the power to the entire house and I think a couple of houses on the block. He let me know. We're trying to figure out back and forth. Like, oh, we'll get close to time. We'll see how it goes. But I really broke it down for him and I was like, look, it's okay. We're, you know, taking that very laissez-faire approach, I guess. I don't know if that's the best word to use here. We're talking about, hey, you know, if you can't make it, that's not a big deal. We'll figure something out. But the big thing with that is that the topics that we originally had, specifically a lot of the issues that are coming out from Blizzard and the misconduct and the lawsuit that they're going through and kind of what has some of the stories we're hearing from Activision Blizzard and what's been going on behind the scenes there, I felt that it was not right or in the best interest of ourselves or anybody listening that we talk, that I just talk about that, that it's, I have that conversation in a solo episode. So I told Seth here's the plan, here's what we're going to do. We're not going to do a full episode this week because you're not available. We're going to take the Blizzard misconduct. We're going to shift that to next week. So episode 44 will have that information. Or let's see, episode 44, Seth and I will sit down and we'll talk more about that when we get to that point. I want to make sure that we have at least myself and Seth at a minimum discussing that, talking about that, and giving really our thoughts and opinions on what's been going down. So if you're wanting and ready to hear that, wait until episode 44 next week. I'm sure we'll get a lot more information and details coming out there. But in the meantime, there were a few things that I wanted to bring up with you here. So this would be I expect this to be pretty generally short, even though we've already gone, only 4 minutes. That's not bad. But let's get rock and rolling here, guys. We'll make it a short, sweet half episode for you guys with just me talking to you and giving my thoughts on the latest gaming news that has happened in the past week, because this is the Rocket Punch Show, your southern source for all things gaming, geek, and more. You can listen to this show every Tuesday on your podcast service of choice. You can also listen to us live as we record the show over at twitch.tv/rocketpunchlive every Sunday at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time when we have both of us on and we can actually have power to do the stream, of course. Remember, guys, if you want to know more about what we're doing, what I'm doing for you guys, and the content I'm making for you, do not miss out. Head over to rocketpunchgo.com. That is going to be your one-stop shop for all the stuff that is made specifically for you. There are a lot of different ways you guys can support us, of course. Many intricate ways of doing that, but I will talk about that a little bit later in the show. Aside from that, guys, let's jump in here. I've got two topics I want to talk about today. like I said, it's a very quick mini episode. And the first one, I have to take a second to just continue to digest in my mind the words that I'm about to say. Dead Space is back. That's right. That's right, son. Dead Space is back. One of my favorite series, one of my favorite horror scary game series, it probably is my favorite game series, is back here. I'm actually going to reference here, read a little bit of this article from Michael McWhirter over at Polygon.com. Dead Space is back. Visceral Game sci-fi survival horror classic, originally released in 2008, is being remade by Electronic Arts Motive Studio, the publisher announced during Thursday's EA Play Live digital showcase. The new Dead Space is coming to PlayStation 5, Windows PC, and Xbox Series X. Players will experience, quote, an improved story, characters, gameplay, mechanics, and more as they fight to survive a living nightmare aboard the desolate mining starship, the USG Ishimura. All while uncovering the dreadful mystery of what happened to the slaughtered ship and crew, EA said in a news release. The Dead Space franchise made a huge impact on the survival horror genre when it was released 12 years ago, and I came to Motive as a fan first to specifically work on this game, said Philippe Ducharme, senior producer of Dead Space, in a statement. Quote, we have a passionate team at Motive who are approaching this remake as a love letter to the franchise. Going back to the original and having the opportunity to do so on next-gen consoles excited everyone on the team. As we look to modernize the game, we've reached out to dedicated fans and invited them to provide us with feedback since the early stages of production to deliver the Dead Space game they want and for new players to enjoy as well. This is wonderful news. Hold on, I'm going to get more. See, this is the fun part about doing the show solo is I just wing it and go get my water here. It was sitting across the room. Had to grab that. I'm over the moon. If you've not paid attention to previous shows, I'm on record on podcast saying multiple times how much I really, really loved and enjoyed the original Dead Space and Dead Space 2. We don't talk about Dead Space 3 that much, but Dead Space as a series had so much creativity, especially in bringing into the horror genre some of the gameplay mechanics, especially when it came back out around the PS3, Xbox 360 timeframe, some of the great things it implemented into horror. You know, of course, one of the hard things about horror, and even the most simplistic things that we tend to criticize with horror games or just horror things in general, like things like jump scares and, you know, when is too much, or when do we not have enough? And I think that Dead Space always nailed, like, everything oozed. It made you unnerving from you. As soon as you as Isaac Clarke step on the Ishimura and are walking around, like, the tone, everything, the creature design, the jump scares that are thrown out at you, even when they're not jump scares, just the wave of monsters that are coming at you when you're put in situations where, you know, you're going into a room and you get locked in and crap, now these monsters are coming at you and you're trying to make sure you can take them all, cut off the limbs. Oh God. Was just all so incredible. I remember, especially since we're talking about Dead Space, me remembering it. I remember this was a game that wasn't necessarily on my radar, but I had my Xbox 360, and I believe there was a Dismemberment demo that was released. I just happened to be scrolling through the store, and I'm like, oh, the free demo. It's called the Dead Space Dismemberment demo. I'm like, what the hell is this? And it basically just was you as Isaac Clarke putting you in a room and then just basically sending waves of monsters at you, kind of showing you how the dismemberment works and kind of, in my opinion, it was a small demo, very small. That's literally all it was one room. It had the ambiance and everything. You were playing as Isaac, and you just basically went in and monsters came at you, and you had to learn how to shoot their limbs off to make sure you didn't get killed. And even a demo that small got me so excited and interested and hyped for Dead Space just because it felt so different from what a lot of horror games were doing at the time, and kind of what they, the tone they were setting. You know, a horror game in space, you're this engineer who's trying to figure out what happened with this crew while also trying to figure out what happened to your girlfriend, and you know, where's she at and everything like that. And it was, the Dismemberment demo is 100% what got me jumping on the Dead Space bandwagon, and I've loved and enjoyed it ever since. I always try during Halloween time to at least play Dead Space. Between the two, my favorite is Dead Space 2. I think they did a lot of... I think they improved a good bit on what made Dead Space so successful, especially with the zero-G moments in the game in Dead Space 2, I think were implemented and worked out a lot better than in the original. Ooh, gotta get my water. But really, really excited, honestly, and no offense to EA, this was probably, I was not expecting this. I was not tracking any of the rumors or leaks that apparently had happened prior to this announcement. But I was literally so excited when I finally heard about this on the internet. And I'll be honest, I totally forgot that EA Play was happening last week. Looking through some of the announcements, there wasn't anything that was really, like, telling me, oh man, I gotta play this. But the Dead Space teaser coming out, that got me hyped. That was my most excited part of the game. Or part of the EA Play showcase there. And so I wanted to take a second here and just, like, what do we want to see from the Dead Space remake? What do we, you know, what are we hoping for here? Reading, as I read through the article here, number one big thing to note is that this game is coming to next-gen consoles and PC only. There will be no Xbox One or PlayStation 4 versions of this game, which I think is really going to give the team over at Motive the chance to push these next-gen consoles to their limit. I mean, it's going to look fine on PC, you know, the P's and the I's and all the T's and stuff like that. But for next-gen consoles, I really think that's going to help push and, you know, I'm not saying hold back, but I think that making them only for a specific set of hardware is really going to let developers use every ounce of the power that these two consoles have. And the other big thing is that it's, you know, it's a remake. And I don't necessarily have a problem with the remake. I think that the original Dead Space hold up fairly well. I've played it on my computer now. And, you know, it definitely can use a lot of love and TLC. And with the technologies that we have now in 2021, like better, especially for a horror game, things like better lighting and things like HDR and kind of shadows and things like that would definitely improve the ambiance, as well as, you know, of course, graphics, sure, that's going to come with the territory, but also sound design as well. I think sound design is something that not a lot of people think about or forget about, with especially with horror games. It's so integral to have great sound design, and I'm hoping maybe we get some, like, surround sound support, or at least better surround sound support if it was in the older one. I don't know, but some of the things there, and at least some of the things that I can extrapolate from the article here, the big thing there is that it's a remake, and it's kind of like a reimagining a little bit here, that they're kind of not, it's not just a carbon copy of the original story. It sounds like we're going to get most of the same beats, but maybe some kind of liberal play around with the story there and kind of what exactly happens, and maybe some specific story beats that they play around with or updates that they make to the story. And I'm hoping that they add their touch, but I hope they don't stray too far from what the original Dead Space was. I know it got, you know, by the time we got to Dead Space 3, it was like real crazy and convoluted, and I don't even know what the hell was going on there. But I think for Dead Space 1 and especially Dead Space 2, the story was pretty consistent and had a really great story to tell for Isaac Clarke, this engineer, kind of just, you know, your everyman, kind of caught in a whole lot of shit, for lack of a better term. And so I really hope that they don't go too crazy with the story, but they have fun with it and do I do want them to put you know motive to put their own stamp on this game, especially it being a remake, more than anything. I want to see what their takes on it and on horror are going to be and how they can make the game even better. I would, you know, and especially from the first game, really. The first game has a lot of major story beats, but you know, if for people who don't know or don't remember, Isaac Clarke never talked in the first game. He also like there was not really any like huge story points or motives in the first one. Or I say motives, I say story points or kind of driving forces other than like, oh, you know, this is down, we got to go to the next point. Oh, now that's down, we got to go to the next point so you can get to your final goal of whatever you're trying to do. As opposed in Dead Space 2, where you had Isaac was fully voiced up, he was interacting with other people on the ship. If memory serves right, you didn't do that a whole lot on the original Dead Space, and so I'm hoping like maybe adding some of that human interaction and giving Isaac Clarke a voice in the original Dead Space, I think will go very far into making a more fleshed out and fully featured story for this, because I 100% believe that the Dead Space franchise itself has legs to go the distance when given the chance, and especially after seeing all the tweets and all the hype around Dead Space when it was announced on social media, is even more proof that I think that it has the legs to go the distance if it is given a chance. And I'm really hoping that, if anything, if you're listening out there, give Dead Space a shot. It's a horror game. It'll scare the pants off you here and there, but it's so great. It's an awesome third-person action game that I highly recommend anybody play. And I think especially when it comes to things like remakes and people. My interpretation of remakes are that these are ways for studios to try and gauge interest in a franchise overall. And so, especially if you're listening, if you're out there and you love Dead Space and you want Dead Space to succeed and maybe get maybe a whole new trilogy or more remakes of 2 and 3 or whatever in the Dead Space franchise, you want to see more of that, this is going to be the game you need to keep your eye on and help promote and see how, you know, of course, don't just buy anything blindly, but see what you think about the game, and if it's something that interests you, make sure you get up and support it as best you can. Because the more support there is for this game, the more interest hopefully EA will see, and they'll start investing in more of that property. But no, I'm super excited about Dead Space. I 100% do not expect this to come out until 2023 at the earliest. The kind of minute teaser that they showed was in fact very much a teaser. Not much showing there except for a clip of Isaac kind of sitting at that workbench there and the kind of cut off their limbs mantra that has always gone with that game. So I really think they're in early stages of this game. I'm glad they've announced it. We've got some time. So if you have your itching ready to play Dead Space, go ahead and keep waiting. I think it's going to be a little bit of time before we actually get a chance to jump on this bandwagon. Oh, that's all I've got. See, that wasn't too long. Now I get to have my awkward pauses while I drink some water here because it's just me here. But before we get into topic two, guys, take a quick second here to talk about how you can support the show and support Rocket Much overall. There are a lot of different ways you guys can do that. The easiest and cheapest way, of course, is if you take a few minutes of your time to review us on your audio podcast service of choice. If you're listening on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, wherever, make sure to take a few minutes of your time, rate and review us. Let us know how we're doing. We always try and do what we can to see these reviews out there and do our best to improve based on you guys' feedback. So if you like it, let us know what you like. If you don't like it, let us know what you don't like, and we see if we can make some improvements to make you like it. You can also follow and share our content over on social media. I am at Rocket Punch Go on Twitter and Instagram. You can find Seth over at Darth Turner, also on Twitter and Instagram. If you want to follow both of us there, you can see all the content we post up for you, silly memes, introspective thoughts, things like that. But guys, if you want to go even further beyond and help support Rocket Punch and what I'm doing here. You can, there are a couple of ways you can do that. There are actually two big ways you can do that. You can consider supporting us over on Twitch and using your free Amazon Prime Twitch sub to subscribe to the Twitch channel over on twitch.tv/RocketPunchLive. Get some cool emotes and access to exclusive stuff in the process here that I'm working on. You can also become a patron over at patreon.com/RocketPunch for as little as $1 a month. You can get access to behind-the-scenes footage and content, previous bonus episodes and bonus content that we have not released anywhere else, and a whole lot more. And speaking of Patreon, I want to give a special shout out to our Rocket Punch producers. These are our people supporting us at our highest tier over on Patreon, our gold membership at $5 a month. So thank you very much to Jossie M, Julian P, Stephen S, Adam C, and of course everyone subscribed to us right on twitch.tv/RocketPunchLive. We appreciate your guys' support. And as always, guys, remember, whether you're supporting us on Patreon or Twitch, or you're supporting us just by sharing our content and letting us know how we're doing, you all are appreciated. We thank you so much for helping out the show and doing what you guys can to help make us better. Whew. Mm. Some more water to drink there. And then, guys, now we're going to go into part two. The second and last topic that I want to talk about here, well, I've got a little bit of time, and that is surprisingly sports games and what's PES, Pro Evolution Soccer. If you guys missed the announcement here this past week, I'm going to read a little bit of an article here from Joe Screbbles over at IGN.com. But PES has been renamed to eFootball and it's fully free to play. Reading here a little bit from the article. Konami has officially renamed the Pro Evolution Soccer series eFootball, and it will become a digital-only, free-to-play game coming to PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One, and PC this autumn, with iOS and Android versions to follow. By this winter, all versions of the game will feature cross-play, although mobile players will need to use controllers to play against console and PC players. It's a major move for the football series, now called eFootball globally, rather than PES in the West and Winning 11 in Japan. And it's been matched with a shift from Konami's Fox engine to a custom-built new engine created with Unreal Engine 4. Crucially, it appears that all versions of the game, from new-gen consoles to mobile, will be functionally the same, presumably meaning that the hugely successful PES Mobile will also be phased out or replaced. Speaking to IGN, series producer Sitaro Kimura explained that eFootball is aiming to take a platform approach with regular updates. There will no longer be annual paid releases of eFootball, but the platform will get free yearly updates for new seasons. eFootball will launch with exhibition matches and seemingly a selection of nine clubs to play with. See the roadmap below for the full list if you want to go check the article and check out that full list. It will subsequently sell other modes as optional DLC, seemingly allowing players to pay for what they want out of the game. No mention has yet been made of My Club, PES's equivalent to FIFA Ultimate Team, or Master League, the series' long-running career mode, although it seems likely that the former will be represented by an unnamed team-building mode coming after release. There is still a whole bunch of more to talk about with this game, in regards to eFootball. You guys can check out the article to read there, but I wanted to take a quick minute here and not so much talk about PES and eFootball, and you know, I have not played a football game, or I'm sorry, me, the American here in me, I've not played a soccer game, but this really brought to my mind a conversation in the last solo episode I had, 42.5, when I made a comment near the end saying that, you know, Madden, in EA, Madden, get it together. It had this huge rant about like, you guys should go to a different model other than your whole $60 a year ka-ching. And this is, I think, exactly why. It's eFootball going, you know, not real fan of, I'm not a big fan of the name. I think Pro Evolution Soccer probably carried a little more bit more weight with it, but the fact that they transitioned it over to a digital-only platform made it free to play and are following that platform approach where basically the game is free to play, they'll have DLC and attachments that you can buy season to season whenever that happens, and you basically pay for what you want. I think works in a lot of different ways because, number one, it allows players, you know, to pay for what they want to play, not necessarily have to pay a full gaming price, $60-$70 for a game when you're going to play, you know, it's no offense to Madden, but if I buy Madden, I don't necessarily want to pay $60-$70 just to play Exhibition, and I don't want to deal with Ultimate Team and all that stuff because that's just a rabbit hole that I'm going to fall down with, and I don't want to deal with that. But having this free-to-play model to me seems like it's going to be a lot easier for players to come in and just, oh, I just want to play, purchase these things, and this is how I play, and I don't have to worry about paying extra money, quote-unquote, for anything else. I think it's an awesome turn, and especially like in an industry where we've seen these platform-style releases and DLCs and season passes, all that stuff kind of pop in all across the board on every genre of gaming except for sports. Especially, you know, the kings, of course, I talk about are EA. God, this must be an EA episode. Jesus. Because EA has FIFA, they have Madden, and two of the biggest sports franchises in the world. And it's constantly rolling the crank every year. $60. Give me your money. You'll get a brand new boxed games that'll have your modes and stuff on there. And that's generally it. They've added some network connectivity, and please correct me if I'm wrong on this. Let me know at RocketPunchGo. But they've generally not done much with their online connectivity other than like roster updates and playing with your friends and some game modes there. But as far as like updating rosters, adding new features or additional stuff on there, you don't really do that unless you get their season pass or whatever similar thing they have for those sports games, if they have anything like that. And so, like, this is what I'm talking about here. I would love to see more sports games, go to a platform approach, or at least try it, and see how well that does for it. I know I talked about it in the episode, the main reason that you're not going to see EA shift Madden and FIFA to these platforms is going to be money. They're making money off of people that will pay $60 a year for the new version, for them slapping an extra number on the side of the box every year to generally get maybe a handful of new modes and some roster updates from that current season. And that's, I mean, maybe I'm being jaded, maybe I'm being unfair, but that to me seems that's what's it. That's what you're getting for paying $60 every year, as opposed to what if we could get, well, okay, the game, it doesn't even have to necessarily be free to play, but if it's free to play or if it's like a small monetary fee, like, hey, maybe starting in 2022, and I'll pick on Madden because I like football, but starting this year, you're going to pay $60 for the game. That's the base game. Then moving forward every year, all you have to do is pay maybe a nominal quote-unquote upgrade or roster update fee for like $10 or $20, and you'll get the next season's fully updated rosters. You'll get whatever new game modes they want to crank out with, and then every couple of years, whenever they decide, hey, we're gonna build a new engine, boom, the new engine is out there and available for you. I would love to see implementations like that to try and to help out people that, so where they're not having to pay that $60 a year every year for small or what feels like in a lot of cases minuscule updates, and in some cases depending on the game, like really bad buggy games that they're paying full price for. I remember they announced it a while back and we really haven't heard much since, and I doubt we will for a while, but like NCAA is rumored to be making a comeback, and if they bring NCAA football back into the limelight and start making games for that again, would love to see them maybe take a new approach with that. Especially if you've already got Madden football doing what they're doing there. Use NCAA football as a test bed. Try and, you know, make it a platform approach there, just like eFootball is doing right now, and seeing what you can get. And I think especially one of the big things for making it free to play I've never played a soccer game. This could be a chance for me to try and play a soccer game. They've got a new game engine, and they've got modes and release styles. It's free to play. It's digital only. I can fire up my PlayStation 5 or my Xbox Series X or my PC or anything and play this game and see what I like about it. And there's no entry fee or barrier for me to do that. And then if I'm like saying like, man, okay, I'm actually liking this e-football thing. The name sucks, but hey, I'm kind of feeling this game. Maybe I'll start paying some money from a customer who would have never, ever bought money or bought anything off, you know, bought the game beforehand. Now I'm coming in and like, okay, I'll give you $5 or $10 here. Maybe I'll get some these cool little features or these cool skins and I'll play around for a little bit. But I think that's pulling more, you know, lowering that bar. I think it's going to allow more gamers to come in and see what your game is about. And I think that for games like FIFA and Madden, some of the biggest sports games in the world, that is another way to get an even larger base, is to start looking at alternative methods of delivery to the gamer out there. And I just, you know, I understand. I'm not a fool. I understand it's all about money. These corporate bigwigs, they want the money. They want to make sure the money keeps rolling in, and they make enough of it from the ultimate teams and the yearly purchases and everything like that. But I'm saying, give it a chance. Think about it. Just think about it. Like, give it a moment to soak in, maybe test the waters with something small, see how it is. If it's successful, maybe consider taking that approach on some of your bigger properties. And if it's not successful, then you do whatever you want to. You take that information and, you know, hey, it was a good fun project, but if we found out that, you know, we're going to lose billions of dollars because if we do that. So I completely understand that. But I think that obviously Pro Evolution Soccer apparently had nothing to lose by going this route. It's also Konami runs it. So, you know, shoulder shrug. But I think that I would love to see sports games take advantage of, even, you know, I didn't, you know, I talked mainly about Madden stuff, but like baseball and MLB The Show. Would love to see some approaches like this with that as well. You know, they kind of went out of the box this year by putting it on Xbox and putting it on Game Pass, and you see how that blew up. Maybe if we start lowering that barrier of entry there, or try and find alternative means to get the game accessible to more people, and in turn, maybe possibly making more money because you're getting more people into your ecosystem. Something to look at. That's all I'm saying. Something to think about. Oh, man, I started recording. I totally didn't turn my fan on. So it's really hot in my room right now. But, and especially like just me just talking and rambling on here, of course, is drying my throat out. But it's okay because that is the end, guys. That is it for episode 43 and a half. Like I told you guys, this is going to be a quick show because it is just me. As I've also said before, we will have next week. Seth has already told me he's got power. It took him like 5 or 6 hours for him to get power back to his house. So as long as nothing else catastrophic happens, we will be back next week. We are 100% going to talk about the Blizzard misconduct. I'm sure that's still going to be a hot topic discussion item throughout this week. So we'll come back next week in episode 44. We'll talk about that. We'll also, of course, talk about all the latest and greatest gaming news and kind of bring up gaming topics that we want to discuss and talk with you guys about. So don't miss out, guys. Of course, if you like listening in on the podcast, remember to subscribe to the podcast so that way you'll get the show automatically as soon as I release it out into the wild. And of course, guys, other than that, thank you so much for listening in. I really appreciate the support. I've got I've got plans in August to really get back in the swing of things with content creation after my hiatus and my break there. So we'll definitely see. We're going to take it slow, of course. Take it slow. But we're going to have a lot of fun doing it. So I hope you guys will join me for that. Until then, guys, thank you so much for listening in. It's always a pleasure. Have a good night. And as always, have a good game. We'll talk to you next week.